Ethan, welcome to Modern Man.
Are you recording?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, wow, this is official.
Yeah, we started.
You didn't even know. That's how good we are.
Psych your mind.
Restart. That's it. Cloud restart.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
This is our prank show. You've been recording your conversations for the last year.
Oh, no.
Jimmy's going to play back the more interesting
ones. You're going to have guests appear
and
everything.
We call it blackmail in certain countries.
Right, actually.
It's blackmail the podcast.
People would get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Right. Yo, I thought this was about black men.
It's not.
No.
That was a grandma. That was my grandma.
That was your grandma's black person. It's either a grandma or it's just a stereotypical black person. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's grandma, definitely my grandma.
Oh, your grandma.
Yo, what's up, black man? Good podcast, Ethan, but where's the black dudes?
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go. Well, it's a wonderful day in Los Angeles once again. We're gathered here on this day to talk about manly things.
Sipping some booze.
Ethan, you're running a race tomorrow. That's pretty manly.
A 50K, right?
A 50 kilometer race. Jeez. Which is about 31 point.
And it's not just miles. It's not a street course either. Right?
It's all
in the mountains, right? So it's double hardcore.
Holy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying some of this wonderful 12 year scotch with you guys, but at the same time, I'm like, I shouldn't. I have this race at 6 a.m. But fuck it, I'm drinking it. Can I swear?
Yeah, you can. You can say whatever
Dude,
the fuck you want. Well, you're a man.
Guys, let's not get out of hand.
Well, we'll put some bleeps in.
Y'all thought this podcast was about black men!
So how many, 50K? How long is that in, like, hours?
We ran 5Ks in high school.
How many days does it take to run 50K?
I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
It would take me a year.
Yeah, I
oh my gosh.
I wouldn't... Couldn't.
I feel like you're about to deliver the ring to Mordor. That's
that's the journey.
I love it.
It's such a long journey.
But rather than having like a Samwise Gamgees, I just have a backpack.
You just have
with
a
water.
Backpack, yeah, and like little snacks.
Little snacky snacks.
Yeah. It's a long fucking race,
yeah.
And this is my second. They're called ultra marathons, so it's anything longer than a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. It's called an ultra. But this is the baby ultra, because it's 50 kilometers. It's only a couple more miles than a marathon. So I have friends that are like, oh, I'm running a 50-mile race this weekend, or I'm doing a 100-mile race this weekend. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, I never thought for the life of me that I would be doing one of these.
Are you ready? Do you feel like your body's ready to go?
Yeah. I mean, for this one, I feel a little undertrained. This is my second 50K. The first one was in December.
But isn't that the point of, like, isn't that just how ultra marathons work, though? Is like, you can never really be prepared for it. Just mentally, like, it's just, you just freaking do it as you're doing it. At one point, your body's going to stop working correctly, and you have to just keep going,
you just have
right?
to keep pushing
yeah.
through it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
50K, I would say, is on that border between, you can train for it pretty easily.
Yeah.
Like, if you run marathons, you should be fine. What you have to take into consideration is elevation, because most ultras are on trails, and so... For example, the Big Sur Marathon is one of the toughest marathons in the country because it takes place on the Big Sur coast of California. It has all these hills. It's beautiful. It's got like 1,500 feet of elevation. The race I'm racing tomorrow has 6,000 feet of elevation change. So over the course of the race, it's up and down.
So how's that? So it's harder than Big Sur.
It's got
way much.
Harder.
Yeah, it's further and it's way hillier.
Because when we were together on the Resident Evil shoot, I remember I had just finished a book called Ultra Marathon Man. My buddy from Iowa sent it to me. He's like, you gotta read this book. This guy's a psycho. He's like, this is the coolest book ever. And it's just this dude who's like legendary. He's famous because he just runs the craziest marathons ever.
My gosh.
Like, he'll run 50 miles to a marathon to run the marathon and then jog back home.
What?
Like, he does crazy stuff like that. And like, I was telling Ethan about it. He's like, you know, I got my first ultra like in a couple months. It's like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. I just got done reading the book. Like, I just realized these people existed on this planet.
Oh,
and then I
gosh.
Was meeting
and then
one.
And then you met one.
And then Ethan, he was like, oh, I love Dean, my boy. He's like, I know all these, like, spout on everything about this guy. Like,
there's still
him.
No black people on this podcast.
You were like in a race with him too.
The Big Sur. I did the Big Sur last year.
Wow, that's awesome.
And,
that's incredible.
He, so Well, before I get any further into the story, I should say that I was never a runner, and I don't know how many of your listeners run or even care at this point. They're probably like, where's the fucking video games? Or yeah, talk, right. Let's talk about
where's bitches that? And hoes. Let's talk about the new running video
game. We'll get back to video games, bitches, and hoes in a second.
Skip scats.
Everyone, all you scallywags, chill out for a second. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Fortunately, there are many aspects to being a man.
It's for me, it's been kind of like this snowball thing. Where it started just doing a couple runs around my neighborhood, just trying to lose weight and get fit. And
like 2 blocks.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, two blocks, yeah. Running around the block, whatever. And then that was a couple years ago. That was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it just gradually snowballed into, you know, I want to see if I can do a half marathon.
Yeah.
I want to see if I can do a marathon. And it kind of becomes, I don't want us to call it, it's a fucking addiction.
It's got right? addicting. It's,
yeah, because when you start doing it and you finish and you get those medals and you see all the people crossing the finish line, it's emotional, and you go through these really dark places on some races, and like mentally and physically. And when you push your body and your mind through those places, it's life altering. Like, it just changes who you are. And so that's kind of why.
What are you most addicted to? It can't be the physical pain.
Some
guys
pain.
Are masochists.
I'd much rather have a girl bite my dick. Like, that's a physical pain I'd rather endure than 6 hours.
Wouldn't we all?
It's not necessarily the pain. I think it's the confidence you get after pushing through something that
shouldn't be
put. Yeah, right, that you shouldn't. Knowing you did. You shouldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your mind is telling you you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah. So, for me, there are, like, if you have a good race, it's good, but when you have a bad race, it's a learning experience, and it definitely kind of changes your outlook on running and stuff like that. So just in general, like, that's kind of why I do what I do. The Big Sur Marathon, which I was telling Benji about when we first talked during the Resident Evil shoot, so as we start the race, it's beautiful. Like, this, I mean, if anyone does a marathon, if you get into it, I would recommend the Big Sur as the number one marathon you need to run. It's gorgeous. It's on the coast. You have cliff with seaside and cliff with redwood forests on your right. It's just beautiful. You start 26.2 miles outside of the city of Big Sur and just run in. They, like, bust you out. So in the morning at like 3
so
or 4.
You kind of see where you're going to go.
It was super dark, though. So you just get an idea of time frame of how long it's taking you to get out. Super far, so it takes like 45 to an hour just to get out to the start line, and then you line up and then you start and you go, and it's awesome. But when we started, about mile 4 or 5, we're running, and there's this guy running the other direction, just one dude with a backpack just going solo, like beaming through the crowds going the other direction. I'm like, what the fuck, why is that guy? He must be trying to catch up with like a wife or something down the way. Like, maybe he's like, oh, I don't want to run so fast, I want to go catch up to my wife there back you go. There. And then jump ahead to like mile 10 or 12.
Oh, no way.
And you kind of get into this zone where you're just kind of oblivious to everything around you. And I hear this huffing and puffing from behind me. This guy's going at a pretty good clip. Comes up behind me, and as he passes, it's Dean Karnazes, the guy that wrote the book that Benji read. And I'm like, oh, I'd met him before at a conference a couple years earlier. And that's kind of when I started researching running and reading his book, and his book I would recommend for anybody, runner or not.
Yeah.
It's just crazy stories.
I hate running, but it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Great.
It's like, that guy is the man's man.
Yep.
He's badass, and all these ultra runners are. He had run from the finish line to the start line, turned around and run from the start line to the finish line.
And it caught up to you.
Lapped me, essentially. Like, caught up to me. So I ran up to him like, hey, Dean, I don't know if you remember me. I met you at a conference a couple years ago. And he's like, I don't remember you, but it's good to meet you. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just wanted to tell you I'm a big fan. I've read your books, and this is a really cool experience and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, why don't you run with me for a couple miles?
Oh,
like,
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Just sucking his dick.
For two miles
straight. No, but we ran for a couple miles. I just kind of engaged him in conversation, asking about the races.
How easy do you have a conversation when you're running? Or you're not
for him,
too fast?
Nothing.
Yeah.
For me,
good runners, you can do that. Like, I can't talk and run.
Yeah.
If you maintain a certain pace, they say you're going the right pace if you can have a conversation. Like, for a long distance race. Uh-huh. If you can have a conversation, you're going at the right pace. Unless you're out there to race, and then, you know, don't even bother. So he's just going at a good clip, having a good conversation, and I'm sitting here just like, so tell me about your next race coming up. I'm trying to catch my breath. I can't, because he's just hauling balls. So I let him go, and but it was a really cool experience.
But you kept up for a couple miles.
That's for a couple miles.
And that makes that you gotta feel good about that.
Yeah, like, I just didn't want to mess up
like pizzas delivered to him during his races, like on like while he's jogging, and he'll eat food while he's running.
Pizzas,
because he'll be running for so long, like just his body, he'll need calories, so he'll just keep running and eating.
Yeah,
it's awesome. He's a beast. He did like.
You think like, they'd have like something like more
Death Valley or something like
nutritionally advanced than a pizza?
Yeah,
but no,
it's just raw calories.
It's all about get the most amount of calories. Yeah,
most amount of calories in the quickest amount of time.
Yeah, possible. Like in his book, he'll stop at 7-Elevens and grab a bunch of like Slurpees and Slim Jims and pizzas.
Does he run
just
in line?
Grab the fattest.
he just doesn't stop.
I
can't imagine.
Ever.
I mean, if he just gets into that mentality and he can just go and just he must just be able to. There's got to be a switch in his
head. I think he
likes
the pain, though.
Do you think he likes
the pain? I think he's the guy that likes the pain because he mentioned something about like he had this like junior high coach that said to him one time after he won his first ever race. His coach was like, "How do you feel?" He's like, "I feel great. I can't believe I just won." His coach was like, "Well, you didn't run hard enough then. You should feel like crap."
Oh.
And he was like, from that moment on, I knew like I'd never run hard enough unless I felt really, really terrible. So he just like wants to hurt all the time. It's awesome. He's a beast.
That's incredible.
I knew I never ran hard enough.
Yeah,
I ran cross country 1 year. The moment where you run really hard.
Did you tell everyone about your cross country experience?
Well, the moment you run really hard and you're like, well, that sucks. You decide, well, at least I decided never to run that hard.
Yeah.
I quit cross country.
Some people realize they can do that and push past it. Des, you realize
well,
you never want to get there.
Everyone else on the team was like, yeah, I'm going to push past that. It's so much fun. That wasn't fun.
Yeah.
As it was high school.
I quit after my cross country after my first 5K because we usually just ran around the track, did laps, and then we were in the forest and we were pushing up hills. I was losing my grip on the ground. I was like, this is miserable.
Yeah.
I want to run on a treadmill if I'm going to be running. And I did track from then on because I found I could slack off the most easily.
Yeah.
In that one.
Yeah, I remember that from track in high school.
You
could
just
easily
so
slack.
Much
really?
Time.
I'll do javelin. And you can sit there and like throw a stick and then, I'm going to take an hour break and look at the girls.
Yeah,
doing hurdles.
It was my senior year in high school, I believe. My father essentially made my brother Alex, who was 2 years younger than I, he was a sophomore at the time, made us run cross country. Alex had played football before, but then he had gotten injured, and we were wrestlers. So with wrestling season right around the corner, we didn't want to do something that would get injured, but we wanted to stay
in shape,
in pretty good physical condition. So he said, "Hey, you guys have to run cross country, or else." You know, that's the way our dad was.
Yeah.
So we ran cross country, and having never run it before, it was pretty awful. We're not built for running either. We're short, stocky guys.
Yeah.
My brother and I, I always tell people this story. Essentially the guys were so damn fast, they would just sort of disappear into the distance, at which point we would duck down an alley and, you know, shortcut it back to the finish line and just hang out. And chat, what
do whippets in the woods.
Until they came back around the corner, you know, 30, 40 minutes later, and we'd jump back into formation.
No fucking way.
In line,
you guys
and
so
coach
cheap.
Would be like, how was the run? We'd be like, man, you know, we'd still be exhausted. We'd run six blocks.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
you know?
Like, you guys
totally
are fucking
white.
Fast.
Like, wow, you kept up with those dudes?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, no. The coach caught us doing that shit, too, and he got really pissed off.
Oh,
about
dude, it. I can imagine. Especially if he just realizes, oh, my God, they've never ran a full 5K.
It was his fault. It was a new coach that year. It was his first year, so he was.
We used to do.
He's like, oh, I got to set an example.
Yeah, yeah.
These
but
guys
but
are
at the same time,
me.
New coach is. Those are the people that everyone takes advantage of. Or new teacher, new coach.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Anything. Like.
I mean, we were just like, hey, we don't make a fool out of you. Like, we're just not built for this running thing.
Yeah.
We just have no choice. Like, our father's making us do this.
Yeah.
We'll do as best as we can. We just want to get a good workout.
Exactly.
We're not here to be professional runners.
Race,
and he was like, well, that's fucking bullshit. And he kicked us off the team.
Your dad must have loved that.
He kicked us off the team. My dad was embarrassing. But we were excited.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Don't hate on Mr. Bart, though. Because that guy hated you guys, but he loved me. Being the youngest kid, it was weird. Because when I went into high school and junior high, these guys had already been through there before. And got
We've burned
and
every bridge.
Yeah.
So going into like school, like all these teachers like, we got another one. Great. Like, this kid's going to be a dick. His brothers were dicks. He's gonna be a dick.
We were a handful.
I had Mr. Bart, who had just kicked them off the cross country team, and I am a legendary. What's the opposite of a math scholar? Oh, dumbass. Yeah. I am a dumbass when it comes to numbers and math and stuff like that. And he was the math teacher in junior high. then I was like, great. Our math, my math teacher is the guy that hates Des and Alex and yeah. kicked him off the crust. Somehow, me and this guy became like best friends during the school year. And he gave me like a math award that year.
I failed a math award.
Yeah. I was most in like some national book math award thing. He put me up for some like national math award. Only academic award I've ever won in my entire life was for my worst subject. And it was the teacher that kicked you guys off the team.
What were you doing?
Mr. Burt, right?
Dude, I was doing Mr. Bart. I was Mr. doing Bart. My work. Mr. That was Bart. The only math class I passed for like 8 years.
There you go.
Well, surprise, we actually have Mr. Bart here.
He's here?
Yeah. Bring him
out. Yeah. Whoa, hey guys. Thanks for having me. Cliff bars. Brought you some Cliff bars.
That's good to see that you're still running.
Yeah, Mr. Bart, you know, I do what I can.
Good.
Yeah.
I was anyway. Under the impression this was a black male
podcast. I thought it was black male. It's a black male podcast.
That's funny. Ethan, you have siblings, right?
I have 3 siblings, yeah.
They're all older or younger?
Oh, yeah, I'm the baby.
Are you really?
And I'm putting quotes around baby.
Brothers and sisters, both?
One brother, 2 sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they set a hard precedent for you? Did you go to the same school?
No. I went to the same, elementary school I was all on my own because we had moved. And so the elementary school, they didn't know any of my siblings. But my junior high knew my brother, who's the next oldest. And he was kind of a slack off and didn't really want to be there. But either did I. But I was also a great brown noser. I was like the best brown noser for teachers. Got great grades. Knew exactly how to work the system.
That'll get you further than, you know, a Rhodes Scholar in high school.
Oh, yeah. You know how to work the system?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
Benji, him and Mr. Bart are like this.
Boys. It's all about kissing ass. It is.
That whole sentence, I think, is just
boys.
Perfect. Boys.
Boys.
It's all about kissing ass.
It's all about kissing ass. I'll just edit that. Boys. It's all about kissing ass.
There you go.
Boys.
Make them happy.
But when I was in high school, I did have a teacher that both my sister and my brother had when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And this teacher is famous because he also ended up marrying one of his former students.
Oh, my gosh.
But he was a cool guy, long ponytail, like the kind of teacher that you're like, oh, do you want to go out back and get high? Cool. All right. That's awesome.
After she had graduated, I'm assuming.
I'm pretty sure.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I can't imagine they got married while she was still in his class. All right, everyone. Isabel gets an A because she's my wife.
She's my wife.
Surprise.
Can you imagine the proposal like in the high school cafeteria?
All right, who can solve for X? That's right, Isabel. It's can I marry you?
It's like, can I marry you over 1 equals 1 over X?
Square root of yes, no, maybe?
That's funny. Well, I can't say Freddie made it easy for me. Everyone, I mean, he was a great student. I was a decent student too, but I was more along the lines of you and your brother. I just love slacking off.
Yeah, I wasn't, no, hang on. Oh, whoa. Not me in the slack off category. I was studious.
You were studious?
I was, oh yeah, man.
You got impeached.
Honors student.
You got impeached?
Des was student.
That has nothing to do with academics.
How'd you get impeached?
Wait. You got impeached as a student body president?
Student body president.
Impeached.
And we're going to edit all this.
How does that happen?
We're going to edit all this bullshit out of here.
No, dude, this is it.
This is it.
What do you have to do to get impeached?
Honor roll.
Boys, it's all about kissing ass.
Boys.
Boys. It's all about kissing.
I got impeached, which had nothing to do with academics. It was because my senior year, I had the worst case of senioritis. And I became a huge pain in the ass. And I don't want to get into my whole high school thing, because it was really weird. I mean, I came in as, like, the biggest nerd and left, like, one of the Joe Popular jock kids with...
I mean, you got impeached.
Really bizarre arc, you know, so...
That's as cool as it gets in some kids' eyes.
I don't remember. I was like, I wasn't going to meetings and shit. I was like Mr. Rockstar.
I don't know what happened. I just thought it was always funny. You got impeached from student body president.
I know.
Like, does the student body vote to impeach you?
There was no impeachment process.
There was
you are cool.
An assembly with everyone except for Des.
Yeah.
All the student body.
Exactly. Yeah, they brought in the PTA.
It was
exactly like that double secret probation meeting.
Yep.
Des, you're cool. It was essentially the teacher who was responsible for student council came to me halfway through my term and said, look, you're you're busy with wrestling. You're kind of being a pain in the ass. People are unhappy with you.
We're impeaching.
We're gonna give it to this other. We're gonna give it to the chick who was the first runner up.
The chick that's probably been pining and campaigning the whole time.
Like, she was.
I think you guys should choose me. Yeah. I think you should go talk to Dez and fire him.
That's what would that typical. That was, yeah. It was a perfect story. Typical. Every little typical thing. My senior year was sort of a mess. But before that,
That you were great.
I was on honor roll. And then when I went to college,
senior year is supposed to be messed.
Hey, I was a 4.0 student in college, man.
There you go.
Graduated with high honors.
And I actually think that actually adds to your rock star status by being impeached as the student body president.
I know, right? Because
if you're going to go out, you're cooler than Bill Clinton.
It was embarrassing for like 10 minutes, and then it was like, yes, oh yes.
It's either you become student body president, and like 30 years later, you have to like, if you wouldn't have got impeached, it would be up to you to like set up the reunions. You know that's what works, right?
So yeah,
like
I'm glad
getting impeached is like it's a failsafe. Get impeached real quick, you don't have to set up the
reunions. Well, another thing, they did get upset over the whole class Olympics. We had a
class Olympics.
We had a class Olympics.
I don't even want to bring
How'd Team China do?
We got cheated our sophomore year.
They were putting people in from the middle school, man.
Just the Excels.
I went about it the wrong way, and I was signing up. People were coming to me because it was supposed to be first come, first serve.
Right.
So, you know, I'm managing the senior team, and I showed a lot of favoritism is what happened. You know, people would come to me, and I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, that list is already full. I'm going to put you on the wait list. When, in fact, that wasn't true. And I would go to the weight room, and I would be like, hey, hey, big guy. You know, we need you on. We need you as the anchor for the rope pull.
Hey, but you know, we have
hey, big guy. Olympics. Hey, big guy.
Hey, big guy.
You know?
Yeah, what's up, Dez?
Yeah. It was like.
Mind you, the class Olympics is literally just freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors versus each other in like a decathlon of events.
And seniors.
So this guy figured.
Physical.
Even
events.
Though they were seniors. Physical. Okay. It's high school, so the seniors are usually always going to win.
Right. Yeah.
They're much more mature, more athletic. But this guy figured he still needed to stack the deck against the rest of the
school. Well, it wasn't about winning. It was embarrassing everyone else. You know, there it had to be a blowout, you know.
It's not worth winning if you can't win big.
You got to win big. You know, everyone was really upset.
Winning's fun, but embarrassing people's
winning. People were just upset because they felt left out, as they should have been. You know, I was excluding
people. One of them is listening to this.
They wanted to be part of the fun.
Well, what would you rather feel, left out or like a loser? You know, I don't want those losers on my team.
You know, I'm...
I'd rather have them feel left out than them get double upset
because
they lose and then we yell at them.
The way I saw it, I wasn't there to please everyone. It's impossible to do so.
It's impossible. How did the actual Olympics work?
Exactly.
They picked the best.
I'm not
on the fucking ski team.
That's right. There should be a choice.
I'm glad you guys are on my side with this.
Dude, what if there was like an actual, I mean there already is in real life and I lost, but like an actual athletic class Olympics for like socioeconomic classes?
Oh my gosh.
Like children? Because obviously, if it was adults, the pro athletes would be in the rich sector. They'd beat everyone's asses. But I mean, like, we get a bunch of
kids. I don't know about that.
And we have,
it would depend.
Just poor middle class, working class, and then rich. I bet those rich kids get their asses whipped.
Oh, they'd
get whipped so hard.
Dude, that would be so great. We should do that.
The city of Detroit would ban
so
and
many
just
urban
wreck
athletic kids.
Everyone.
Dude, Detroit would roll.
Detroit would roll
hard.
Detroit would roll
those
hard.
Kids had
hard.
So much
the
to
Florida
prove.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The Florida region.
They're actually fighting for something.
Oh,
rich
finally,
kids.
This podcast is getting on track.
Grandma's pumped.
There you go. Yeah.
She's loving
Grandma's
it.
Loving it.
Yes, there's that black guy.
Yeah, there
I
you
can't
go,
do a voice. The only one
it's just this one. It's just high-pitched and annoying.
Turn the game down on that guy.
I know.
God.
It'd be like Richie Rich would just... I just feel like they wouldn't... They also wouldn't care.
Get his ass beat.
They wouldn't care. They'd be like, you
know
what?
Well, you
know
what,
though?
The kids could inform the... they could afford PEDs.
Ooh. This is true.
Yeah, this is
but
true.
But would it help? Would it help over sheer athleticism?
Would it help? Yeah, it would help.
Would it beat sheer athleticism?
Yes.
Yeah.
Drugs would...
PEDs
would win.
PEDs always do.
It's been clearly established
Lance.
That sheer athleticism stands no chance against a man on steroids.
There you go. Yeah.
Not to beat a dead horse, but Lance Armstrong is an amazing athlete. I don't know him personally.
Sure.
Yeah, you take the PEDs out. I'm sure he's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But on PEDs, what?
He's
not winning six.
I mean, he could have won.
Well,
if you take PEDs away from everybody,
then
the results are exactly the same.
Then again, if they're all taking PEDs,
which they are,
still got to give Lance the credit because he's the one guy amongst a sea of cyclists
yes.
who said, well, you know, screw you guys, I'm still going to take it six times.
They're all doing
it. And he did it the best because he hit it the best. What do you mean? You win six in a row and you hide it? However many, was the last tour he won?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember cyclists getting called out the year after they won.
You know, it's the hiding it that kind of upsets me.
I mean, well, you have to, though.
The way he treated it. Yeah, you're right.
At that point, when you're like,
baller if he won six in a row and then just dropped the mic on that shit. Like, I cheated. Yeah. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six in your money.
But so is everyone.
Exactly. I'm the best.
I'm waiting for the guy to go through his entire career and just document everything. Like, the whole time he started, like, PDs to, and then every time he talked to someone or he saw someone or he knew somebody who was doing it. Like, I know that sounds
specifically
shady.
Or just any athlete?
Like, I'd love to see
just any athlete. Like, not call people out specifically as who they are. But I mean, like them, like right at the end of their career, be like, "All right, just so everyone knows,
roll the
let
tape.
You know what the last roll 10 years of my sport was like."
Yeah.
So when you find out about all this, you're not all upset about people.
Yeah.
Somebody breaking your heart. He's like, "I did this, and I'll tell you, I wasn't the only one."
It'd be
I won't
like
tell
a...
you who, but here's the percentage of people I talked to.
It would.
I was like, deal with it. There's gonna be more of us coming out if you got a problem.
You know what that would be like? That'd be like David Blaine just being like, "It's all." Fake. None of it's real.
Yeah, it was.
And they're all faking it.
Yeah,
none of them are magicians.
No, David Blaine. He's
the exception. He is magic.
He is, exactly. That guy, there's something special about him.
I met him at CES. We did an interview with him.
Oh, yeah, really?
How was that?
Was it like those
I'm a big David Blaine fan.
Oh, he's crazy. Because
when I was a kid, my first trip to New York.
Well, you like mental toughness. You respect mental toughness, clearly.
Have you seen him hold his breath?
I had a great endurance conversation with him, yeah.
God, him holding his breath, that is mental toughness to them,
Max. That's not an illusion, though.
No.
He's no longer an illusionist.
Well,
what do you call that?
See, that's what
we called it an enduralist or something like that.
Enduralist?
I think that's more magical.
Endurance artist.
I think that's more magical than fake magic. Power of mental toughness.
Well, it's real magic.
It's real magic.
Yeah, you can do shit.
It was like
Houdini
being able to take.
You're not supposed to be able to do.
Any punches and stuff. He trains. You should see the TED Talk where he talks about training to hold his breath for 16 minutes or however long.
David Blaine.
It's insane.
16 minutes, really?
Yeah.
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 As much as I'm like, oh God, this guy's obviously doing these stunts for real. I don't know. There's no way to know.
Yeah, it's
but,
true.
It could still be an illusion.
It still could be an illusion, but I do believe that he goes through all this training to do this. Like, I think he puts himself in a position that...
He does do some hard stuff.
He does some hard stuff.
I mean, even if it is fake, it doesn't make it that much easier, the stuff he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people, like, when he did that thing when he stood on that pole in Times Square, they're like, oh, what's so cool about that? He's standing there for, like, 3 days. Yeah, it's not cool, but that's how we tortured people to get info. It's called a stress position.
Yeah, it's
we did that in Afghanistan for years.
Yeah,
to get info to break people's spirits, and he did it willingly.
The whole time he's up there, just going, "I was on cross country and I cheated. I cut a course and I ran in front of everybody." Dez is just sitting at the bottom, slow clapping.
Thank you,
David,
my champion, my boy, Dave,
bearing my cross for me, baby. Now, if Chris Angel came out and said it was all fake, I wouldn't give a shit. Mind freak.
You just have to end every sentence about Chris Angel with Mind Freak.
Mind Freak.
Mind Freak. Mind Freak. I can't believe his show is still in Vegas.
I was just there. We were debating whether or not we wanted to see David Copperfield or Chris Angel. I didn't see either. I went to see Cirque du Soleil, which is
which
magical.
One? Which one?
I bet
which
that was
one?
Cool.
Mystère. It's been running for a boatload of time. Someone said 20 years. I'm like, no way.
No.
Maybe two, but it was great. It reminded me of, it's just like seeing people do trapeze and figuring the timing out of when to throw the thing back so that when they let go and do their double somersault in the air and catch it, it's like there had to have been so many falls to perfect all the timing, all the preciseness. There was this amazing act where two people just sat there and I don't know if you've seen this, but they balance each other on each other. They're just stacked. These guys are like mini Hulks.
Like twins?
No. They're just two guys that are equally huge. And, you know, one guy's the base holding the other one up. He's doing a handstand on his hands. He's holding it up. He's going down to his knees. He's turning around. And it's this intricate balancing act. But it's like, it's amazing that humans have figured out and have trained and like discovered the art of like balance and with like doing it with someone else. And like, it's just crazy thinking about circus and how incredibly hard it was.
Humans are amazing because we can do some of the coolest, most amazing things and the dumbest shit.
Right?
Yeah. We're the only species that has literally gotten every bit of the spectrum of smart and dumb.
Yeah.
Like, no other animal can do that. Like, they're just in one little, you know. So, like, dolphins are always smart.
Dolphins are always smart.
They don't do dumb shit. Humans, we do smart and really dumb
really
shit.
Really dumb
shit. Yeah, you don't see a dolphin running into a propeller just because it looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that. Yeah, it doesn't
matter. Oh, fun!
But you'll see a human do it.
Well, we have the Darwin Awards. We have an entire book each year dedicated to just the idiocy or ignorance or whatever of humans. At the same time, you could also argue that people that do stuff like wingsuit flying are equally stupid and incredibly smart. Yeah. Just like to be able to have that much control.
Those guys have to be on point in a millisecond. Like, right. I can't even
look at F1 racers. Like, they are making such precise turns that if you crash one of those things, you're toast.
Is that intelligence, though? I feel like...
That's just extreme training.
A guy running through the Sahara trying to, like, catch his dinner is going to be, like, really good at that.
The thing is, you have to train.
That's always, like, the best way of intelligence, though, is, like, unconscious competence.
And not everyone can be, like, an F1 racer. Like, kids train in European countries at 5, 6, and if you're not cut out for it, if your brain's not able to make those decisions fast enough and react,
then you're a liability.
You can't be. You'll die or kill people in the process. They just take you out of training. Hmm. But you have to train so early. It's almost like learning, like, another language. You know, the earlier you start, the better you learn it. So it's a different kind of intelligence. It's like muscular intelligence.
Muscular intelligence.
My muscles have brains.
I love cars. I'm a big car guy. And F1 fucking freaks me out.
F1 racers.
You can't even drive one of those cars unless you're at red line going like 120, 130 miles per hour.
You're always doing some kind of G's. Or
you have to go at a certain speed and have the red line or have the rev limiter at a certain... Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know much about F1, but I finally got around to watching that Senna documentary.
Amazing, right?
Oh yeah.
I
haven't seen it.
Like I have known nothing about F1, but it makes me want to be a fan. Like I want to start watching it now, and I respect the hell out of those guys.
They have a race just down in Long Beach.
It is insane. Year. Oh so really?
Just drive down there. And you can see the actual F1
that'd be awesome. Those guys are nuts.
I was watching a GIF comparison of just Daytona cars or just like rally cars and then F1, and you see the car going around the turn like this, and F1 is literally this.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, it goes so three funny. Times as fast. It disappears around the track. You're like, I can't even imagine being in that. I go 80 on the freeway and I start getting nervous.
And they can't. I mean,
and I'm going straight.
They don't have
on a bike.
On a bike.
Too many like big time injuries or like deaths in F1. They seem to do a pretty good job about that. But
well, when it does happen, it's big news.
Like, I mean, I know these are all legendary racers, but they got. I mean, they got like a roll cage and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I said, like F1, you just
explode.
Those cars are supposed to come apart.
Yeah, they're made.
But your little capsule
cockpit, right?
Is essentially the only thing that holds you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that frame around you is extremely tight, and the engineering that goes into those cars is ridiculous.
I wonder what the rest of your day has to be so damn boring.
Right? Spending like 6 hours in an F1 car.
Like how are those guys? I would imagine they have like the worst like marriage rate of any profession. There's like a professional racer. So like how can they still be excited about anything after spending 5 hours at like 200 miles an hour a day?
Just on point.
Yeah.
On point.
Just at the absolute peak of. Just like every part, every sense of your body working all day. Like, how do you?
I'm just trying to picture that guy like in his Lazy Boy watching.
Yeah,
the
like
brush
how do you sit around? Yeah. like
watching the Duck Brothers.
Is he cool, like laying down watching the Kardashians at night with his girl? Like, how does that work? How can that even be possible?
I bet he sees turns when he sleeps. He has to just see. I mean, there's just so much adrenaline too. At that point, you're just addicted to it.
He can probably only get off in an F1 car. So he has to have one of his buddies drive him while he's. Boning his wife.
Boning, yeah. That's dangerous.
That's how I do it. Right on the airfoil.
It's a slower F1 car because it's got to fit more people.
Yeah, that's right. Think of all those bodies. Ugh.
There goes the drift.
So aside from your race, Ethan, what else you got going on?
VGHS season 2 is coming up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. We are all a part of
everyone in this room right now.
Even Charlie.
Jimmy is old Ted Wong.
Old.
Ethan, you're Clutch. King's boy.
It was, so last season... What I love is that if you go to Netflix and watch VGHS season 1, the cover, I'm on the cover.
You are on the cover.
Oh, really?
It's my back, but I'm crouched and not pointing up or whatever.
There you go.
So I was heartbroken. They cut me right off at the end.
Oh, sorry, that sucks.
They got me.
You know,
it's okay.
Were literally...
But as long as we got you.
Yeah,
you were standing like 2 feet away from where you delivered your biggest line, or one of them.
Which line?
Drift! Drift!
Drift! Drift!
Drift!
If you watch that clip, you can see Rocky Collins... Drift camp,
just
slightly breaking right at the end.
Yeah, right.
It's
so
funny.
Right in here.
Yeah, it's right,
right
here.
Here.
The whole party scene is in here.
Exactly. Yeah, the entire party scene is your apartment, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And that's not gonna happen this season, right?
No. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't
no.
even supposed to happen because you guys never even got that cleared. We
no.
had to be quiet,
well,
right? We had to kind of be.
Oh,
I'm doing air.
We had to be quiet. Yeah, but I think we originally planned to have at least the dorm in here, and we couldn't find a place to have the party. And then we had it in here too. And yeah. That was a nightmare. It was like not, you couldn't even live at your house for a while. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, you guys had
equipment, people, all hours
yeah,
of the all day. All
hours, yeah. But we did get a free couch out of it, so.
Nice. Yeah, that's sweet.
Well, that was good.
So tell us about Clutch.
So at the end of that first season, I mean, Freddie called me literally the day that we were shooting the arcade stuff that you were doing,
the first
kiss scene and stuff. He called me that day. He's like, hey, can you come today to be a drifter? I was like, of course. I mean, when Freddie calls you and asks you to do something, you just go, yes, you know? And I really wanted to be a part of VGHS, so I was really excited. So I drove all the way down to fucking, it's gotta be Long Beach.
It was deep.
Really?
You were deep in the
California. Super deep. So I get down there and do that, and I'm like, okay, it's just kind of a small part. And I have no problem. There's no such thing as small parts, only small actors. So I
some LA wisdom right there.
Very wise.
Yeah, very wise. But it's also not true.
There are small parts too.
So after that, you know, I think out of that whole shoot, there was maybe like one or two lines that I had, and then this party scene as well is like one line. So my whole arc in season one is an episode.
There's a classroom scene.
Oh, there is a classroom scene. That's right. Yeah. Still, I mean, that arc is hardly an arc, right? So I talked to Matt and Freddie. I'm like, listen. Just for shits and giggles, do you mind if I give my character a name? Like, I'm a drifter, right? I'm with the Drift King. Can I call myself Clutch or something? He's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, we'll just call you Clutch. Yeah, Clutch. What's your name, Clutch?
I had no idea you named yourself.
Yeah. I wanted to. Rather than being Drifter 1.
You would have been Drifter 1.
Drifter 1, yeah, there you go.
And I didn't know what was going on at IMDb, but for my own.
Well, we didn't either.
Ego.
It showed up before we could get to
that's
it.
That's really cool.
That's how IMDb does that. That's how IMDb does it. Another project of mine, it's like, no, I didn't want that to go up yet.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. They got it. Okay.
Yeah. Or someone on the project will do it because they want another name on it, another credit for the name.
So I named the character, and I was also hoping that, you know, it would eventually turn into a season two that would allow a little bit of drifting coming in.
There were small roles that were cut from season one to two. So
yeah. You got to have the old looking high school student.
You got an upgrade. Yeah.
That's right.
I love it.
And you're in a lot of the drift scenes.
Really? Right? Well, do I get to drift?
No, I think.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for getting me one of those cool.
I think I read that
shit.
It's just you drifting. It's
just
you
me.
Every scene,
literally every
they
time
cut to
I'm
you
on.
And it's just more of you.
Yeah, there's one episode where I start screaming mid drift in the beginning of the episode, and it cuts back about four times, and it's just different parts of the scream. I'm just drifting that hard.
There is a good amount of stuff with you two reacting with each other.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Clutch.
You're
well,
have you read the scripts yet?
I haven't been sent anything.
Oh my goodness.
I only know
your
that I have
role
to keep
is
the mouth
actually
open.
Pretty significant.
Yeah, you're in.
Do
you're
I have lines?
The, yeah,
absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
Cool.
You are. It's definitely an upgrade over season.
Oh yeah,
one. Absolutely.
I'll show up to set drunk.
Yep.
I won't memorize lines.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'll keep the beard.
Thanks, Marlon.
Because I think that's perfect for a high school student.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So now that we've
been. I mean, I'll keep
more
the
people
part.
Showing up. I can't stress that enough. More people need to show up to set. Messed up.
I know
that sounds terrible, but any time you ever read an article or you watch a documentary or you see anything about a sweet movie that you loved growing up or like
someone
showed up,
no one ever sits there and they're like, yeah, everybody showed up on time and everybody worked hard and it was great. Nobody was drunk or fucked up. Like everybody's like, so and so showed up a fucking mess. This was a hassle. Like we need some more chaos.
I heard that about Blues Brothers.
Agent. Oh yeah,
Blues Brothers.
They had. I just read that article.
I think you were telling me about it.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
They had cocaine budgets for their night shoots.
What?
They
had a cocaine
budget
for their night shoots.
Written into the ledger.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
Because
the 80s or 70s. When was that?
That was the 80s.
Early 80s, right?
Only in the
80s. Who was it that needed it?
Belushi.
Belushi, yeah. Belushi felt like he could
have...
Actually, Aykroyd...
Everyone on
the most of the guys, too, they all admit it. They're like, yeah, that's how we stayed up at night. That's how we were funny. Like, we partied.
Yeah, Aykroyd was like, I never overdid it. He's like, I just needed to stay awake sometimes. He's like, so we'd go over to the bowl.
The Bowl.
The
Hollywood Cup.
Same with Carrie Fisher in Star Wars was apparently just cracked out or coked out.
Really? Episode... 5 and 6, I think, for sure.
I mean, shit.
Somebody's
got to
be cracked out.
Somebody's exhausted.
Yeah.
Stupid shit.
The kid that played Harry Potter admitted he was drunk for
Daniel Radcliffe?
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah, said he showed up to set off and very drunk or very hungover.
Wow.
I can see that. He looks like a dude that would just be throwing him down. I believe that.
I expect season two, someone's going to be our black sheep.
Oh, now we're talking!
Bets, who's our man or woman this year?
It's going to be Freddie.
Freddie?
He loves getting messed up.
Yeah, Freddie's probably fucked up right now.
Right now. Freddie drinks like a camel. a lot of water.
Just a lot of just water. Holds it in his humps. Yeah, if anyone listening would enjoy watching any of my content, you can go to youtube.com/thesampler or follow me on Twitter at Ethan Newberry. Pretty easy.
I follow you.
Yeah, you do follow me.
There's some good tweets.
And if you guys tomorrow want to come out to the course, come out to the race.
Yeah, where is that again?
Point Magoo. So you go to the PCH, just straight up.
Okay.
It's just a little bit
beyond. We were going to go for a hike.
How far is it?
We may as well go up tomorrow.
It's like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, guaranteed to be
gorgeous.
Point
Magoo, like Mr. Magoo?
M-U-G-U. Point Magoo.
I was thinking Mr. Magoo the whole time. Me too. I don't think I'm coming.
It's probably Point Mugu.
Awesome. That sounds awesome.
Mugu.
Yeah.
I'm over it. You spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
That's not me, guys.
But yeah, I start at 6 a.m. I probably won't finish until like 11 or 12 noon. Oh, but man, if you guys want to come up and enjoy some beautiful views and hikes, let me know.
Absolutely. Yeah, the weather's going to be great.
Drop me a text. I'll have my phone with me.
Well, yeah, so Ethan's in VGHS. You're in a few of the episodes as one of the drifters.
We start shooting in a week?
We start shooting next Thursday.
I don't know when I start shooting, so.
You're going to be, I feel like you'll be in and out a decent amount.
Okay.
The drift classroom is a hopping place.
Oh, yeah, there's
Did they build that set on the stage?
I would assume so. I don't
YouTube
see
Creator Space?
Yeah, we're filming a lot of it down the plaza.
That's great. You guys were able to
taking
do that.
Over half the joint.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And they have you let you access all the lights and all the grids and all that stuff?
Yeah, last time I went in there and I looked at what they had.
I assume so. Seems like we got
a crazy amount of equipment.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you guys shooting it on?
Red.
The red.
Yeah. Ooh, red this is Epic the first time. And a Red Scarlet as our B cam.
This is the first time anyone's ever heard that.
Upgrade over last year.
Yeah. And cameras. The footage will actually match.
Two cameras?
Footage will
two
match.
We're doing simultaneous, right?
Did you upgrade the chips in the Reds?
Sometime.
At
the same time.
These
I don't think that's available yet, right?
Red Mysterium chips. The Dragon sensor doesn't come out until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dragon
and we're doing a lot of interior stuff.
So. But it's a big upgrade over last year. We shot the Sony F3, which is a really awesome camera. The show looked really great. Looking forward to filming 4K this year.
Yeah. The F3 has a very specific style to it. It feels daytime. Does that make sense? It's a little brighter, poppier. Reminds me a little bit of kind of how the Alexa shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see how the Red does.
It's a great camera.
Great camera. Great cinematic quality.
Should be a nice upgrade.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. You know what, though? Before we wrap up, we want to try out a segment.
Segments are awesome.
We're going to the man cave, so if you just follow us.
So we're going to take you down to our man cave.
Yeah. This is the point where I have to learn how to add sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, it's like easy.
This is all the work that Benji's going to have to do in post.
Step.
I'll help you design it. Freddie and them have a huge sound library, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. Because that's what they do for all their videos. They have tons of Foley.
Yeah, it's all on the server.
Yeah, we'll have a cute little song. All right, now we're down in the man cave. It's currently under construction. We've got a fireplace right behind you, actually.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Describe the man cave.
Everything's made of wood. Exquisite wood. We have a bearskin rug
smells
under us.
Rich mahogany.
Rich. Just some of the richest shit you'll
ever
smell.
Is that a treasure chest over there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's scotch.
Yeah, scotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's porno mags hidden on the bottom, but we're not supposed to know that.
There's also some that are not hidden.
Yeah.
Just don't even care.
That's the one you're holding right now.
Just don't even care.
This is the wall of hatchets.
Yeah. Just leave them out. Oh, good. Options.
Right. Yeah, hatchets for every occasion.
You have the book hatchet, which is also great.
Yeah, we do.
That is a great book. I really love that book.
I couldn't finish that book because I started laughing when that pilot started farting for the heart attack.
Oh, really?
I couldn't finish it. Like, I was reading like the
first that's like right before it gets great.
Yeah, it's before anything happens. It's like the first page. It's like, I was reading it, like Gary Paulson, right?
He's the writer. Yeah, Gary Paulson.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's just like, and then I could smell something and, I think he was having a heart attack, and I was like, wait, guys fart when they have heart attacks? And then I just couldn't get into the book anymore.
Oh, man.
I never read Hatchet.
It's like one of the manliest books.
I know, it's one of the best books ever. It's a little kid surviving. And I was like, I just can't do this.
I know, it's like Jurassic Park 2.
I started laughing, and I put it down. I was like, I can't handle this.
There you go.
Come on, Ethan, come over here and sit down next to the fire with us here. And
just on that little rocking chair.
Yeah, Benji, why don't you stoke that for us?
Give it a stoke.
Stoke your flames.
Whoa, that's a lot of stoke.
So what is this segment, or are we just trying to lube Ethan up?
You guys just should have come out with it, I brought my own lube.
All about
describe your favorite components to the man cave.
There you go.
Ah, the favorite component. Oh, well, turning around there's a little, there's a handcuff torture rack. That's fun. Is that Jimmy's edition?
Who put that there?
That's Granny's edition.
That's awesome. And then you got a crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crossbow rack. crank that thing up.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to do some man associations.
Man association.
Okay. Freeman association.
Freeman Frisian. Hmm? One person says one thing, we toss it to the next, and we just... It doesn't need to be completely related. Just whatever pops
in your head. We want to get to your inner man.
Mm. Let's find your inner man. We'll give you a good man starter topic, pass it to you. Go to Benji, to Dez, to me, and we'll just continue in the circle. Can be a word, can be a phrase, a thought, an idea. Whatever tickles your fancy and stokes your flame.
This really, really erotic.
This might be the gayest, gayest segment ever.
Hmm. Yeah,
may not do this again. We'll see.
I'm gonna remove my pants real quick.
Okay, good.
Right, I'm ready.
Well, what we're
insert sound effect with. There.
There.
I had both a whip and a cat.
Where'd that cat come from?
I've been waiting for the segment.
Granny's not allowed to participate, but she can spectate.
I'll go back upstairs.
Why don't we keep it simple? We'll just Benji and Ethan. Ben, why don't you feed Ethan?
Feed him.
You can feed me whatever.
Ethan, if I were you, I would run.
Granny!
Get out of the cave. Give him just a word, a manly word. Or not even a manly word. What comes to your head? First thing in your head.
You said manly word and I thought of a mace.
Mace.
Mm.
But that's not... You can't,
mace it is.
Spray.
Mm.
Pepper.
Mm.
Dog.
Balls.
Neuter.
Gone.
60 seconds.
Cage.
Best.
Ever.
Timeless.
Legend. No, I just can't stop thinking of Nick Cage.
This is the wrong everything is Nick Cage.
Oh my gosh.
Everything is a description of Nick Cage.
This segment should be called How Long Till Cage.
How long till Cage?
How long can you go straight to Cage?
How long until you end up in a Nick Cage thread?
Oh my gosh. It's an endless loop. I think once we get to Cage, it's over.
Like this man cave.
Man cage.
Man cage. Oh boy.
Like
that sounds even worse than man cage.
Under construction.
Oh yes, definitely under construction.
We'll revisit in the future.
What are you feeding to me in the man cage today?
Get into the man cage.
Nick, are you down there?
Well, now we have to add a poster of the great one, Nicholas, somewhere in this cave. Cage.
The travel for Tom.
The Nicholas Cave.
Excellent. It's just like a picture of his head on Conan the Barbarian's body.
I'm 60 seconds ahead of all of you.
That's right. Well, I think some podcasts end with a tagline, right? We don't have a tagline.
We don't have a tagline. We just got dudes being dudes.
Dudes.
One of these days we'll get one.
Yeah. Ethan, you got any ideas?
Dudes being dudes is fun. It's fine.
Dudes
it's
being
good.
Dudes.
Fine
just
fun.
Dudes.
Fine is good. It's
being
good.
Dudes. But you gotta do it like Chris Christopherson. Just dudes.
Catch you fuckers at a bad time.
is that Homer Simpson?
That's Blade. It's Chris Christopherson and Blade.
Oh my god.
Catch you fuckers at a bad time.
That's all I know of Chris Christopherson. I know he was a musician before getting into acting.
Yes.
Never heard a Chris Christopherson song, not that I can think of.
He has one of the most incredible names in
Sailing.
The world.
Take me away.
His name is.
I don't think
yes.
That's right.
Oh.
That's Chris Cross.
Chris Cross.
Chris Cross.
Chris Cross.
Chris Cross was a good movie.
Oh man. Well, yep, definitely.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll think of a tagline. We'll get that at some point. Yeah. But yeah, Ethan, thanks for coming, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Have you back
thanks
anytime.
A lot, man.
Have
you know
back
what?
All the time.
Before we leave, Chris Christopherson's real first name is Christopher.
Christopher Christopherson.
His last name is
you mean Christopher?
No, his name is Christopher, but yeah, Christopher Christopherson. But it's spelled like Christopherson with
it's spelled
F's.
Christopher
oh,
Christopherson. So he's technically one of those double
Christopher.
Names.
Christopherson.
Father Christmas, Chris Christopherson.
This podcast was great!
Alright. Bye, Granny. See
Bye.
You next time.
Good to see you, dick.